Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
We're going to get into the Word of God in just a moment, but I'd love for us to just take a moment of prayer over the Word. I really feel the personal presence of Jesus. Sometimes there's a corporate presence, and that's beautiful. What I mean by a personal presence, I almost sense the person of Jesus next to individuals. I feel like God's got something for individuals today. I just want to warn you, today's word is not profound. It's not a teaching that, you know, is going to be any kind of infotainment. It's not that. But I do believe that in the simplicity of what God has to say to some of us, there's something very personal about it to some of us. There is a turnaround anointing of the Holy Spirit to somebody. And that's enough. Even if it's just one, it's just enough. So, Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence in this cinema. Thank you that you're walking up and down the aisles right now. You're right beside every single one of us. Thank you that today there's encounters. Thank you that even right now you're touching hearts and posturing minds. And we proclaim in the mighty name of Jesus that our reliance is not on a leaning wall of persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. So we ask you even right now, Holy Spirit, invade your vessels for honor. Speak to every heart, we pray. Move every heart. Let your presence be known in effect, not in doctrine, not in theology, but in practice. Show that you are the God of all the world. Show how personal you are. Show your people that even the very hair on their head is numbered, that you know them all together. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, cool. I want to bring a simple word around. I need us to know, and I'm sure we're starting to really recognize this, that there's a real war if you are a Christian, if you are a born-again believer, for your vision, your faith, and your energy. And I'm not just talking about natural energy, even though I'm including that, but your strengths, your energy to live life, your vigor for life. There's a war in the heavenlies over it. That's why the Lord said, even right back in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Because there is something about your vigor, there is something about your energy that God has bestowed that the enemy wants to rob and make you weary, live weary of life. So there's a real battle in the heavenlies over that. If you track the life of the apostles, if you track the life of disciples that lived with Jesus, there was a constant war. A few blocks here, a few knocks there, a few delayed promises here, a bit of headwind over there, and in due time you find that there's a weariness that literally wants to dilute your life, make you live lower than God's intention for you, because you become weary. If you track Samson, a lot of people read Samson and they read his life and they think he had a lust problem. He didn't. That's superficial reading. Read on and read between the lines and you'll see that the man Samson, who was designated to be deliverer and designated to be a powerful man of God, destined to be a man of God, just became weary. He got tired of being alone. He got tired of all the battles he had to fight. He got tired in the natural and in the emotional. He got tired and he just needed somewhere to lay his head. But then the devil provided Delilah. Who knows that the devil is an opportunist? When you are weary, he will provide the wrong lap. Simon Peter, exactly the same. Going after God, full of vigor, full of vision, full of faith, full of energy, full of confidence, full of loyalty, but a bit of headwind. Confronts this and confronts that and gets to a point where he confronted his own failure and then goes back to fishing. This thing called Christianity and destiny is not for me. I missed it altogether. Let me go back to my box. Not my calling. Not the divine faith that God has given you and imparted. Not the divine destiny that God has in your life. But let me go back. That's why Jesus said to him, Simon, Simon, Satan. It wasn't just the circumstances. It wasn't just troublesome people. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Now listen to this. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Meaning the problem that you and the disciples are facing at the minute is a problem of loss of divine energy, loss of strength. You're weary. Hello. You know what I'm talking about. The devil's agenda is to get you and I weary on the inside. Because when you're weary on the inside, I tell you, it's like a car that is designed for purpose but has no fuel. You can be designed all you want. You can have all the right outfits. You can have all the right equipment and God. But unless you got God juice, you ain't ever going to fulfill your purpose. And the devil knows that. So he wants your heart and my heart to be weary. Weariness is a breeding ground for hopelessness. When you're weary, you don't dream. When you're weary, you're not thinking things of God. You enter into this box where you are confined to your weariness. You judge tomorrow by today's energy. Huh? But today, I feel like God wants to speak a word to the weary.
You're right with that. You're awfully quiet. Is this normal? I feel like I'm working hard up here. Does that mean you're thinking when you're quiet? Or does that mean you're asleep because the chairs are so comfortable? Come on, Ease, talk to me. Okay, I just want to read you, right? Okay, we want a platform from the first book of Chronicles. If you'd open up with me, it's a good thing to bring your Bible to church. If you've got it on your phone, open up to that. First book of Chronicles, chapter 4. Because the Holy Spirit, I believe, if there's a simple little agenda, a little assignment for the next 30 or so minutes, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to bring back energy to the exhausted. Wants to bring back the breath that will take you the second wind under your wings. Whoosh. Uh-huh. Who said fresh wind? Well, come on. Oh, I felt that. Look, I'm not much of a religious guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we don't get through what we need to get through, but the Holy Spirit does his thing today, I'm totally okay with that. Is that all right? First Chronicles chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10. Give me a wave if you heard of Jabez. Good. Okay. You're about to read the entire autobiography of Jabez in Scripture because it's only two verses. So here it is. Oh, it's up there. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, now listen to this, this is awesome, this is mum. Because I bore him in pain. You know, his name, Jabez, meant causing pain. Imagine that, imagine mummy in the morning, hey pain, wake up. Jesus. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, I love this man. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause the pain prophesied over my life. So God granted him his request. Let me put a little bit of context to our conversation today. Give me a wave if you read First Chronicles, because I tell you what, you have to be a diehard Christian to read that stuff. Who's read it?
Okay, that's good. That's about 10% of a church. Okay, understand that. First Chronicles chapter 1 to chapter 9 has a list of nearly 500 names. Now you know why you don't read it often. So-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. The lineage. But it also includes the allotment of land. You know, different people and what they inherited from their fathers and so forth. That's really kind of like the first nine chapters of First Chronicles. 500 names. But in those 500 names, they're kind of divinely selected. Every single one of those names, there is something in it. There's people like David, you know, who conquered mighty armies for God and did incredible exploits for God. There's people like Solomon who erected temples and left generations with the worship of God. There's people like Judah, the tribe head that led all the praise for Israel and taught people how to praise God even in perplexity. I mean, there's some significant powerhouses, right? So the Holy Spirit chose 500 choice names. Now, right in the midst of that, there's Jabez. He never fought a battle in his life. He never did any great exploits in his life. He never erected any temples in his life. The Holy Spirit highlights him because one thing that you and I need to learn from this man, and therefore he is in Scripture forever. This man, everything in his life was going the wrong way. Everything was headwind. His brothers were dishonorable. And the reason it seems like there is no mention of his father, there is no mention of any land allotted to him like the rest of the 500 names. It seems like perhaps daddy may have walked out on the family or daddy did something so dishonorable that there is no mention of daddy. Daddy left no inheritance for his family or his children as was in those days. It seemed like he began life from a disadvantage. It seems like his brothers lived out the disadvantage. It says that they were more dishonorable. Who knows that if you don't control your pain will run your life. And by the way, please don't judge anybody by the tip of the iceberg. A lot of people turn to substance addiction or all kinds of lifestyles. That's only because they want to numb their pain. That's not necessarily because they're wicked people. They just don't know how to deal with the pain that they went through. You get what I'm saying? Right? So Jabez's brothers were of that caliber, but Jabez was a different type of spirit. Jabez didn't worry too much about being called pain by the most significant others. He didn't worry too much that life prophesied disadvantage over him. He didn't worry too much that people socially thought little of him. He didn't worry too much about all of that because Jabez decided at the point, there is a point where you and I have to decide whether we're going to succumb or overcome. He decided at that point that instead of letting Satan weary him, that he would look up and pray to the God of Israel. Now here's the thing. I need us to see that when Jabez prayed, keep that scripture open. When Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, he wasn't talking about the God of the nation Israel. He was talking about the God of the man Israel. Jacob, let me take you in a little bit further. You see, much earlier in the scripture, there was a man by the name of Jacob who had a very similar story to Jabez. He began, life was just full of weariness. Life was full of toil. As a matter of fact, the Bible records that in the womb, he was in a wrestling match. And once he came out of the womb, his whole life was full of toil. Can anybody relate? He just felt like everything, there was nothing that would come easy. Everything was a struggle. Everything was headwind. Everything that he did. Until one day, as a middle-aged man, He enters into a wrestle with God in the book of Genesis 32, and he says to the Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me. Saying, I don't care about what's happened in my past. My name is Jacob, which means cheat, supplanter, con man. And people declare that over me. I'm not socially accepted, and I've lived a life full of toil. But I believe that you are good enough to change the rest of my life. So I will not let you go unless you bless me. Your favor upon me is going to change everything. I believe you're good enough to change the rest of my life. So Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. The declaration was, I believe you are good enough to change the rest of my life. The adversarial winds that you have experienced, the disadvantages that you have experienced, all of that, you have to weigh it all up, but you have to ask yourself the big question. Is God good enough to change the rest of your life? Come on. Right now, ask yourself that question. No matter what has happened, no matter what people have done, no matter what situations you've been through, not even how you feel, is God good enough to change the rest of your life? Can I just say to us, the single revelation of knowing how good God is in practice will make you defy your circumstances. That's why in the book of Psalm 27 and verse 13, David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Meaning, I would have become weary. I would have succumbed. I would have diluted my call. I would have become a totally different man. I would have lived under a low roof for the rest of my life unless, what was the key? Unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. It's really, really important. You know, sometimes, I want to tell you one of our biggest problems in Western Christianity at the minute. Like, if I said God is good, what would you say? All right, let's do this. God is good. And all the time, you know what the problem is? We confess his goodness, but we don't expect his goodness. Your theology is not your library, it's your life. So when I say God is good, when you say God is good, it's not good like a good movie. It's not good like a good steak. It's not the same category of good. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 68, you are good and do good. That means everything about you, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, God, the infinite God, is goodness personified. But if it was all there, that would be like good for him. It doesn't say that. It says you are good and do good. The goodness of God is not a drip feed. The goodness of God is not a season. I'm in a season where God's good to me. What happened last season, bro? It's not a season. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. It's not a season. You know what that means? The goodness of God over your life and my life is a permanent arrangement. Daily loads you with benefits. While there may be times and seasons we don't understand everything God's hand's doing, but we can trust his heart that it is for good. You meant it for evil, but God will use it for good. So Jabez decided, you know what? God is good. And because God is good, I don't care what mum has said about me. I don't care about what my brothers have done. I don't care about the past. I care about this. I am going to pray to the God who can renew my spiritual vitality. Do you know, no matter how weary you are right now, some people have actually put down their mantle. And it's not because you're bad. It's because you're weary. Some people have put down their original destiny. God had dreams in your heart. You know it. But because you got so much headwind, you thought, oh, you know what? It must have been pizza. And you're starting to live a life that is so, so suppressed and so pushed down. But God wants you to get up, man of God. God wants you to get up, woman of God, because listen to this. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know what that means? Strength lost is not a permanent arrangement. Strength can be renewed. Do you know that you could have your initial vigor for God? Do you know that you could have your initial dreams for God? Do you know that you can go from glory to glory, from strength to strength? You know why? Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The Lord knows how to renew your spiritual vitality. Don't conclude the energy of tomorrow by today's emotions. No matter how you're feeling today, you are like Jabez. I am like Jabez. You are like Jacob. I am like Jacob. One prayer away from divine energy. He said to him, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, he wasn't talking about give me a blessing. You know, bless me indeed. He was talking about bless me real good. As a matter of fact, if you read that tense in the Hebrew, is a present continuous. He wasn't talking about a blessing. He was talking about that I would constantly lead a life of blessing. You know what the interesting thing is? He didn't think that God was El Cheapo. He thought that God was El Shaddai, who does exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. 112 times in Scripture, the Lord says, I will bless my people. 112 times, in case we didn't get it. You know what the blessing of God is? The word bless is the word barak. The Lord wants to barak your life again. You know what that is? To invoke divine favor on your life. Not on an asset of your life, not on a part of your life, on your life. Hello, sir. Your life. The sum total, your destiny, your health, your marriage, your kids, your influence. God wants to bless it all. That's why he says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 and verse 26, I will bless my people. I will bless their homes. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers. Do you know what I'm talking about when we talk about showers? We live in Melbourne. You should know what showers are. It ain't coming just one way. The Lord wants you to know, no matter what the enemy does, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against him. Enemy brings in a wave. That's what that verse is in Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, it's meant to overwhelm you. You know what the Lord does? He does what Pastor Luke does, gives him a surfboard and he rides the wave. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard against you. You bring in the wave that it's just going to lift me up, not put me down. Open up with me to this verse. Open up with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Not up on the screen? Okay, it's coming. There we go. Book of Isaiah 26, you have increased the nation. This is the prophet Isaiah. I don't want to give you too much context, but I want to tell you this. Part of the prophecy was how the people were going to go into captivity for 70 years. But who knows that even when we go through difficult seasons, they are a comma and never a full stop. So this is what Isaiah's final word to the nation after the 70 years is. You have increased the nation, O Lord. It felt like the nation was being depleted, but he said, you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. Now listen to this. You have expanded all. All the borders of the land. Not one border. Not two borders. He said to him, when you enlarge territory, you do it on every front. When the enemy takes territory on life, he goes into a single front and hacks and hacks.
when God blesses, every border of life expands the right way. You see, the blessing of God is multilateral, not unilateral. You give the devil no foothold to any part of your life, because all the borders of your land are occupied by the Holy Spirit. You see? So Jabez prayed, enlarge my territory. He said to him, Lord, I'm not going to give the devil a single thing in my life. He deserves nothing. Who knows that the devil deserves nothing in your life? He doesn't deserve to touch your mind. He doesn't deserve to touch your emotions. Does not deserve to touch your relationships. Does not deserve to touch your vision, your enthusiasm, your calling, your energy, your vigor, your influence. He does not deserve it. That was bought by the blood. Let me take you a little bit deeper. Let me tell you this. Some of us have got certain trouble areas in life. So much so that it's no longer the person who is troubling you. So much so that it's not even the situation, but now the stronghold has become our perspective. And that area, instead of being a blessing in your life, has become a curse. Curse is aridness. Curse is the diametric opposite intention of God for your life in a particular area. You feel like instead of bearing you fruit and joy, instead of fulfilling God's plan, it's fulfilling the devil's outlet in your life. That is known as a curse. Can I tell you what God does with curses? When the Christian lines up, God does not remove the curse. God does not eliminate the curse. God does not eradicate the curse. God turns the curse into a blessing. The very area of your weakness becomes the area of your distinctiveness. Can I show you that from Scripture for just a minute? Open up with me to the book of Zechariah. Have a look at this. Book of Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 13. Lord said through the prophet Zechariah to Judah, just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse, the entire nation was a curse. The entire nation brought affliction and trouble. The entire nation brought the diametric opposite of God's intention into other people's lives. That entire nation was that. And they were that for a long time. But look at God's interception. Just as you, Judah and Israel, have been a curse among the nations, I will save you and eliminate the curse. Is that what he said? Come on, East, stay with me. Is that what he said? Absolutely not. He said, I will save you and you will be a... Because God doesn't remove curses. God turns curses into blessings. Let me tell you what that looks like in practice. There was a man in the book of Joshua, but a man named Achan. They had just taken Jericho over and they were experiencing wonderful things. And then they got to this little city called Ai. In Ai, it was so tiny that they thought, we're not going to trouble the whole armies. We're just going to send 3,000 men. They sent 3,000 men, but guess what? They got slammed. And they had 36 men die. And Joshua was perplexed. Joshua was like, God, how is this even possible? You're with us and they're so small and they're a nothing kind of city. How is it that we could lose in such a battle? How is it? Long and the short of it, there was a man called Achan who had stolen certain things that the Lord said should never be touched. Long and the short of that, he brought a curse and caused all of Israel to be defeated. They dealt with it and they moved on. But. The valley where all of this took place was named by Israel the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor means the Valley of Trouble. The place where we experience trouble, defeat, cursing, aridness instead of fruitfulness. The place where the battle was lost, it was the Valley of Trouble. Do you have a Valley of Trouble in your life? Is there an area in your life, you feel like that is the valley of trouble in my life? If only I had everything, but just not that. That's my valley of trouble. Listen to what God did. Book of Hosea,
chapter 2 and verse 15, when the Lord restored Israel, he said to them, I will turn the valley of Achor into a door of hope. I will not neutralize your curse. I will not neutralize the trouble. I'm going to turn it into a blessing. It's going to be the very area that brought you trouble is the very area that is going to bring you majesty, magnificence, and outlet for the Spirit of God and power. Do you know how many people I know who faced life-threatening diseases and not only got healed, but then received a healing ministry? Do you know how many former drug addicts I personally know who not only got clean, but they are powerful change agents for others who are in that sphere? Genuinely, I know prostitutes who have come out of that lifestyle and have cleaned up a lot of that mess. And I'm talking about with a lot of their circles. Because the Lord does not remove your curse only, He turns it into a blessing. Just as you are a curse among the nations, I will save you and you shall be a blessing. My friend, do not disqualify your future based on your past. God will use it for good. God knows how to turn around all things. But maybe, because of time, can I just put a couple of things to you and then I'm done. I want to put to you a really cheeky secret. But on it, your future and my future depends, genuinely. Here's the cheeky secret. God will only answer the prayers that you pray. Is that okay? If Jabez had not prayed, what would have happened? We'd never hear about him. Because the second half of his life would have been like the first half of his life. The reason Jacob's wind and went from cursing to blessing, from weariness to strength, from loss to gain, is because Jacob, at the intersection of succumb or overcome, stood in the gap and prayed to the God of Israel. Lord says, you do not have because you do not ask. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Listen, if there is a promise that I feel over some people today, this is it. This is it. And if this is you, receive it. Psalm 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. God is just reminding us that He's a powerful God, that He's the God that changes the Red Sea into a red carpet. God is almighty. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. I am not to be messed with. Challenges don't mean a thing. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Open up your mouth wide and I will fill it. Meaning, you fill your mouth with believing prayer. No matter how full your mouth is with a believing prayer, even if you're believing for the ridiculous, He says, I will anoint it so much, I will do far above what you ask or think. That's a promise to someone. Today is an intersection. Today is an intersection where you could succumb to weariness. Where you could say, the former, all that I've lived through, prophesies the rest of my life. And you can go out in a battle. But today is also a day where you can allow God to renew your spiritual vitality. Where you can pray, God of Jacob, God of Jabez, that you would bless me indeed. That your hand would be with me, that you would enlarge my territory. I need us to stop pseudo-humility. I can't pray for God to bless me. My friend, if you don't pray for God to bless you, you will never be blessed and you'll never be a blessing and you'll never live the will of God for your life. We're okay with praying, God bless the food, but God bless me. That's pseudo-humility. You and I need the blessing of God. Right from the days of the garden, the Lord blessed them and said to them, go forth and multiply. God is going to answer prayer. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. I'm going to close by showing you one piece of scripture. Because the Bible says the Lord granted Jabez his request. Have a look at this. Have a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 2, if the worship team can join me. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 55. Bit of a funky verse. One of those verses that we could read and go, okay, whatever. But it's not a whatever. This is a massive verse. The families of the scribes. Anybody know who the scribes were in the Old Testament? The scribes were the elite in their days. They were the learned. They were the honored. All of Israel would honor the scribes. The scribes were looked up to. The scribes were well-resourced financially. They were the ones that were gifted with most. They were the ones socioeconomically were neck and shoulder above the rest. They were the ones when it came to honor and distinction in the community. They were the ones. They were the ones that people would esteem above everyone else. That's who the scribes were. Now listen to this. It says, the families of the scribes who dwelt at Jabez. Do you know what happened in Jabez's life? God so answered his prayer that he not only defeated the impoverishment of where he was, the weariness of where he was, but that they built a city after his name in which only the elite would live in. Can God change my future because of his goodness? Can God turn around weariness and years of toil? I want to dispel one last lie before we pray. There is a lie that the devil has sown in Christians' minds, that the longer something goes on, the more permanent it becomes. And that if it's happened for years and years, that it cannot be reversed. I want you to know that that is a lie from the father of lies. Because Jesus so happens in the book of John chapter 5 to walk into a scene where a man for 38 years is in a particular condition, and in one moment, Jesus can undo what Satan did in 38 years. There is a woman who was bent down for 18 years in the book of Luke chapter 13. And woman, you are loosed from your infirmity, is Jesus' proclamation. Jesus can undo what Satan has done even for 18 years in a single moment. Satan wants you to believe that whatever the situation is, it's in concrete. And it's worn you out, man of God. It's worn you out, woman of God. But God today wants a second wind by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to grit our teeth and resolve. There's no power in that. Book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30 says that the young men will faint. It's not about natural vigor. It's about the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Jacob. I will not let you go unless you bless me. God, I need you. I need my energy back. I need divine vision back. I need divine influence back into my life. And the Lord's goodness is good enough to change the rest of your life.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.